Aria is not here to consent to the reporting. Aria.
Sorry, I've been derelict in my duties.
It's okay. It's Osegba Mitzvah, Patrimina Mitzvah.
I was trying to look into the Masin Lo Isha. I didn't get a chance to look to Sunday's recording yet, but I don't know.
Yeah, well, it looks like you're okay on that front.
I mean, I was looking into, like, what's the Hagdara of Tzedaka? Is it, like, a financial thing? Is it, you know?
Right. If you still need help on the Masin Lo Isha front, we're in trouble, Skaria. Right.
I mean, I was thinking of giving a board on it.
Okay, so I wanted to start off. Where's Benji? Benji's my marker guy. That excuse? That's not a good excuse. Harley, I think that's a valid excuse.
It's not. Depends on how severe or a diet.
It's true. His day machsoro is like he's an anastast or something. So I just wanted to spend a few minutes being a little more organized and precise about the outline that we had in the last year. We were talking about the shear of tzedakah, how much tzedakah somebody has to give. And we saw that this ties into a theme that we've touched on earlier, which is how much two dinim in the mitzvah of tzedakah. That there's an aspect of tzedakah that's driven by the right of the ani. And then there's a separate din of tzedakah, which is driven by the chiyuv of the ashir, correct? A rights-based view and a duty-based view, they're two dinim. I think the best formulation of the duty-based obligation is the virtue ethics Rambam position that tzedakah there is there to cultivate a disposition, a habit, a mida of beneficence. Spring familiar? Romy actually put on the WhatsApp chat a while ago. I just put it onto the source sheet today, though, on page 43, the Rambam and Shmona Prakim, Perek Dalet of the Rambam's introduction to Avos. And the Rambam talks about how the different mitzvos help facilitate different midos, different virtues, different characteristics. And we're told this. Many of the mitzvos are there, Kadesh and Israfik, Menach Katzah HaEchad, right? Many of the dinim are to help us move far away from bad character traits and to help us facilitate the good ones. And as an example, Romy pointed out that tzedakah de machsoro is karov lepazranos. So what does that mean? Karov lepazranos, it almost brings us close to being overly liberal, like frittering away our money. And the reason for that is kadesh and esrachik mikatzah hakilos merchak rab, kadesh tikava banu hanadivos, so that we establish in ourselves the good mida of how do you translate nadivos? Yeah, generosity, beneficence, like giving to others. So this clearly emphasizes the nosein aspect of it, rather than the mikabel aspect of it. Skar, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, small ha'ara, the lashon, this idea of pazranos, you also see this in the language they want to like call them avazves, really means like literally like wasting or spreading around. I always found that a weird formulation, but I guess that's what they're referring to here.
Yeah, the mida of like frittering away or something. Yeah, some call it like liberality, like just, you know, being free and like letting it go or something. But I agree with that. Now that makes its way into the shear of tzedakah, about how much are you supposed to give. So we saw this in two ways. In the previous shiur, we saw this, that even an ani who's mekabel tzedakah has a duty to give tzedakah, correct? Now that's totally self-defeating in a certain sense. But if you look at this from the obligation of the nosein, it's sensible that even he should have to cultivate his virtue of generosity, okay? Now, we see that also in the discussion of the shear tzedakah, of how much you're supposed to give. So here, I thought the best manifestation of this was the Gemara in Bava Basra, Tesa ben Aleph, the Maimra of Ravasi, that you're supposed to give. A certain objective minimum amount, which was what? Lo yivchas mi No, Ravasi. Lo yifros mi. Yeah, shlishis hashekel. I guess. Well, al yimna. Sorry, my phrase threw you off. Al yimna atzmo. Don't refrain from giving shlishis hashekel b'shana. Now, when we pointed out last year, is that this shear is an absolute amount, right? It's not a percentage, just a fixed amount. And that's really important, I think, because that also just reflects the no sains obligation. We're saying there's some basic amount that everybody ought to give. And we saw in the Mefarshim, we saw in the Ritva and in the Radvaz, that this applies when there's no needs of the aniyim. Hileka aniyim ba'asrei. That was the language of the Ritva. And we saw similarly in the Radvaz and the Rambam, Manas Aniyim Perek Zayin, where he says, "En advar mamur mel she'en sorech la'aniyim." Everybody with me on that? So there's just some minimum amount that everybody has to give. I know this is just a quick chazar from last year. Any questions on this year at Tzedakah? Then we had a second year at Tzedakah. That's not a fixed amount, but a percentage. How many different percentages did we see? Well, yeah, how many? What are they? Tell us them all.
10%, which wasn't really so much in the lab.
Yeah. What are they? Yes, let's say one.
There was Yerushalmi, which said that before the Takana, it was like 2%.
Yes, let's start. What's the easiest year at? Or you can start from the highest to the lowest.
20%?
Yeah, 20%. Where do you get 20% from?
The Takana of Yerushalmi, according to Yerushalmi.
Yes. You should probably have it all. Nishami and Peya had the Takanas Usha that Hamevazves, or a person should give, yeah, it's with an olive. The Yushalmi's formulation in Peya was Usha Nimnu Sheyeheya de Mafresh Chomesh Nechasa B'mitzvah. A person should give 20% to Tzedakah. That's a fixed percentage. Then there's actually, the other shiurim and the Yushalmi are less defined, but let's hop away from the Yushalmi for 1 second to the other shiurim that we have. So what's the next shiur? Josh?
It's 10%.
Good. 10%, the idea of Meiser that we hear about. Where does that come from? So actually, I maybe was too quick in dismissing it in the last shiurim, but here is a little bit more about Meiser. So in two places in the Torah, we have reference to the number of Meiser. So we have Yaakov when he makes the Matseva in Breishos Chavches. V'leven hazos asher samti Matseva yiyabes elokim. V'chol asher titen li aser asranu lach. So the idea that Yaakov is appealing to this notion of Meiser, there is clearly not a chiyuv. But you see that this notion of Meiser exists. It's actually not clear if it's Meiser or Chomesh. Whether aser asranu means I'll give two maaser, which is a chomesh, or whether it's just double language to emphasize. But then in Devarim Yudalid, we have the idea of maaser when it comes to kol tevua zarecha. Aser to aser is kol tevua zarecha, which
is not a chomesh there.
What?
Why would you say that the first chassid is actually a
chomesh? Why would you distinguish between them? It's a good question. But I think Pashup Shat in Devarim Yudalid Chavbeis is that when in the agricultural sense, it's Meiser, actual Meiser.
I agree, but I'm saying that it does use the double lashon as well there, right?
Yes, that's some of the Midrashim will say it actually is just Meiser.
I just don't understand then why would you say then in the first place if Yaakov has to be a chomesh.
Oh, this could also be a chomesh. Yeah, they both could be a chomesh.
Oh.
Yeah, I wasn't intending to distinguish between them. Okay. I mean, just reading the psukim, it's ambiguous which one it is. Right? The problem is that the mefarshim, the Bavli, darshins the dvarim one way. Okay. So where does the idea of meiser come from? I mean, the psukim are ambiguous. So actually, I think the source is really the Gemara in Tanis or Tosos off Tanis. The Gemara there says, "Amar Yochanan." Tanis chef tesam base tesam aleph aser to aser bishvil she tis asher. What does that mean?
Give money so that you will become rich.
Yeah, good, right? Give money so that you will become rich. Now, if you take that apart, what does that imply, Roni? How much? What's the shear? Given that drasha, what's the shear?
Like in numbers?
Percentage.
10%.
How do you know it's 10%, not 20? Yeah. Once you get rid of the second one as Mishpil Sheh Tisasher, then the first one is clearly just referring to giving Meiser. And I think that's what motivates the Rishonim here. The Or Zeruah, which we saw, cites this Gemara, Parakama Detainis, etc. This is the Or Zeruah, Hilchos Tzedakah, Siman Yud Gimel. I mentioned that the Or Zeruah, the very first Siman in the Or Zeruah is Hilchos Tzedakah. This is like a bit of a mystery. Why is that the first Siman in the Or Zeruah? Well, I think so. It's like early on in the Torah type thing. Okay. So the Or Zeruah here says, Lamanu she mitzvah la'adam la'aser es mamono. So this is very clear that it's not referring to agricultural stuff, right? Because he says la'aser es mamono. So the Or Zeruah is a very clear shita endorsing this. Tosos in Tanis Daf Tes makes up a sifri, or he had a different version in the sifri, which has this drasha. So volunteer to read this Tosfos. Who had a chance to prepare it? Tosfos Tanis Tes Amud Aleph. You guys see Zechariah?
Yeah, he's
doesn't he look like the emperor? Yeah.
I didn't see it beforehand, but I think the emperor can take the Tosfos.
Go for it.
So, aser taser, haka isa b'sifri, aser taser is called v'asarecha ha-yotze ha-sadeh, shana-shana. Ein li ela tfu ha-sarecha shechai b'maiser, ribis u-prakmatia b'chol shah revacha minayin. So, interest, kind of merchant stuff, like merchandising and...
merchandise, yeah. Business.
And other profits, how do we know? What's the source? Tamil Omar, es kol, everything. It's called to have a matzi. The name are es tfascha my kol. The rabbis ribis pragmati the whole davar shema v'yetpo. So the word kol is going to include other financial profits.
Yeah. So this is a phrase quite a vitosos, which is very clear in its language that it's intended to extend beyond the agricultural chiyav meiser. Okay, so we don't have this version in our sifrei. I mentioned earlier in the year that one of Saul Lieberman's like points. Is that if you're looking for the right yourselves and things, the Rishonim are a pretty good place, are usually a better place to go than manuscripts. Because the manuscripts that we have are only as old as like 1100s, 1200s usually, right? But Rishonim, clearly if they quote something and they had this version of it. So don't think that there's anything more special about a Ksav Yad than the language that we have in the Rishonim. So just because we don't have this in our sifrei doesn't mean that Tosfos got it wrong, right? Okay, so that's a very important formulation of Meiser. So I also just wanted to add that the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch seem to adopt a view of Meiser, at least as one possible shear of Tzedakah. Josh, do you have a comment on this?
Yeah, I was just gonna say, we saw before there was an focus about whether or not within the Meiser you can use some of it for things other than Tzedakah. Like for other mitzvah.
Yeah.
So from this Russia about like et, like it's cool, like, you know, it sounds like it shouldn't only be after we can set up like use for other things.
Maybe aser to aser, meaning if you assume that it's that pasuk is not limited to tzedakah itself, right?
Right. I mean, like, I don't know why.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, we'll see actually some versions of this that seem to extend it beyond tzedakah, arguably. Yeah, which by the way would work out nicely with the first shear, Ravasi Bavasa Daf Tes shear, because where does that shear come from, the Shlishi Sashekel? No. Yeah, Machzis Sashekel. Right, if you saw the Rishon, the Ramban explicitly says that the Machzor HaShekel, they just made the coin bigger. So in the time of Nehemiah, a third of a shekel was the same weight as the Machzor HaShekel on the Mishkan. But that was for Bedek Abayas, which, again, which we emphasized in the last year, that if you're emphasizing the Chiyav HaNosein, maybe it's legitimate to even generalize beyond Staka, Josh, which gets to your point, right? Yeah. Sorry, you have a hand on this?
Yeah, again, sorry I didn't have that much time to prepare stuff, but looking on the trusty Malbim on the Safri there, he said something interesting. So he doesn't quote the Tosos thing, but he does say that there's a class, big Machlokas Rambam Ravid about like darshing the Pasuk about Yerakos and stuff like that. There seems to be some drushes about Yerakos. And the Ravid is out of position that literally every single Sifrei on that Pasuk, I don't know if he says in that word formulation, but pretty much there's a lot of drushos that are really totally asmathas because like Yerakos Terabanon. So it could be that even though this sounds like a reboy, like a real drasha, there's serious Rishonim precedent to say that there's a lot of drushas on this pasuk that are smachta.
Yeah, exactly. And that's consistent with the Bach and the Aruch HaShulchan, you know, that dismiss this as just being a dindrabana or even just a minna. So, correct. Even the fact that there's a drasha from the Sifrei doesn't lock it in as a dindaraisa. That's fair, yeah? Yeah. Great. So Josh, in response to your point, if you extend Meiser beyond Staka, that fits in nicely with it just being a Chiyuv HaNosein. You know, there's a certain amount you have to give every year to show that the money's not yours or to show that you have the midah of nidvos, of generosity, etc.
Sorry, are you going back on the Zephyr Shurimabel that this is not welcome
with the Shurimabel? We're not done yet. Yeah, we're not done. The Rambam Banos Aniyim Zayin Hey, I still stand by that. That's a short answer, but I'll say more about it. Rambam Banos Aniyim Zayin Hey says, Ba Ani Vishal De Machsoro Vein Yada Nosin Masagas Nosin Lo Kfiya Sagas Yada V'kama Ad Chamish Nechasa Mitzah Menam Ufra. That's like the Bavli and Ksuvis Takranas Usha as a cap. But then we're told this, Mitzah Menam Ufra is 20% Chamishis V'echad Me'asara V'nechasa Beinoni. Benoni amount of tzedakah is to give 1/10. It's not really clear where the Rambam gets this from. He just drops it in Hilchos Manos Aniyim. And then the Shulchan Aruch adopts it in Yerdei Resh Memtas. Shir Nisi Nasa, Yadav Masagas, Kfitzar Achaniyim. Emein Yadav Masagas, Yitin An Chomish Nechasav. Mitzvah Nam Bufkar. Ve'echa Me'asara Mida Benonis. Pachs Mikan Ayin Ra. Does anybody see that? So both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch throw in 10%. Again, as one shear, where do they get that from? So the Gra says, oh, maybe the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch are working off that same Sifrei that Tosos had. Maybe. You see that suggestion here in the Bira Gra and Sifkat and Beis? Sifrei, Heviyu Tosos, Titanus, Tesamid Allah. As one explication of the shear. And then they quote this very, the Gra also throws in, he says the Mordechai, quotes the Yushalmi as learning this from Kabe to Sashem Mehonecha. It's not clear to me at all how you get Meiser out of that pasuk. Here's the Mordechai that he's referring to. It says, the Mordechai in Bava Basra, Remez Tafresh Mentes, which is our sugya, says here, you have it on page 50. Uve Yushalmi Mapik Meiser Ma'os Mikabed Es Hashem Mehonecha Meiratius Kol Tevu Asecha. To my mind, it's still, the Mordechai does say that, but it's a mystery. How do you get Meiser from Meiratius Kol Tevu Asecha? No reason to think that Rashi refers to Meiser. Yeah.
There are other things where you give like the first 1/10 of your stuff. So like Kohanim and stuff, no?
For Levium.
Yeah, or that.
So yeah, if you think that if you think Rashi's Kol Tevu Asecha is referring to Meiser, right, Kaved Es Hashem Me'onecha from your money in the way that Rashi is. But I would just say two things in response to Josh's point. Number one, it's not obvious that Honecha, sorry, that Rashi refers to Meiser Abuvim. That's number one. But if it is true, and we'll see in Mefarshim on the Yushalmi, you read it differently, what this pasuk is. They don't think Rashi is referring to Meiser. But I guess it's within the Mordechai's rights to read it that way. But moreover, if Josh is right, I want to point out that it's not exclusively tzedakah, because you could say Kabed Es Hashem Mehonecha. It's a machabed Hashem, meaning use it for a dvar mitzvah. It's not uniquely designated for aniyim. Does everybody see that? If you think this pasuk is the source, if you run it to Mordechai. So, which gets in again to this notion that we're not, there's an aspect of tzedakah maybe that's not even driven by the needs of the yani. Right? It's more like the notion that you should be contributing to other stuff in society, other Torah institutions supporting the Beis HaMikdash, Beis HaKnesses, etc. Okay. Now, let me say one more point about Maisa and then I'll move on to the other Shirim. You can see we saw this in the last year, but I'll just be a little more explicit about it here. There's a major debate in the postgame about what you could use your Maiser money for, whether it's limited to tzedakah or whether it extends to other things. We already saw this in the Ramah in Resh Mem Tes Aleph. Sorry, did you have a hand or did I take your hand?
It was just like a small comment about where the 1/10 came from, if not from the Tosos. Generally, you have this idea of like different meat, like a generous meat, the Ein Tova, Ein Ra, meat the Beinonis by Truma, where it's 2%, 4%, or I think 1/60th, which is whatever percent. No, I'm totally wrong. It's not 2%, 4%. Okay, never mind. But we have this idea of like different ranges.
But is Meister the, why is Meister the magic number?
Oh, because I was wondering if it's just half of 20. As in 20 is the limit, and usually the bitterness is just like, you know, halfway there.
Ah, so it's like, I'm sorry, you split it in half.
Yeah.
For that. Okay, so that's a theory. If you look here at the Ramah in Resh Mem Tes, we're told, the Ein Lasos in Maiser Shalot Dvar Mitzvah, Kigon Neiros, the Beis HaKnesses, Ashar Dvar Mitzvah, Rakit Tenenel Aniyim. So the Maril thinks that Maiser should be uniquely given to Tzedakah, but notice, it's not obvious at all, objectively, that that should be the case. Right? Wherever you're the source for Maiser, it's not obvious that it has to be uniquely for the Aniyim. Remember, Maiser of Tevuah goes to Leviim, right? And if you look at the postgame, a lot of postgame don't accept that Ramah. So look at the Shach. What does he say in Resh Mem Tes Gimel? Volunteer to read the Shach here. Ariel, did you get a chance to look at the Shach?
I think so. I just can't see it.
Oh, first of all, why are these guys? Yeah, that's like nap time. Got it, Ariel? Marshal Vadrisha Kasim Shem.
So you can basically use Maaser money to perform.
Yeah, Maaser money is just used for important things, right? Mitzvah things. Nothing special about giving it to Aniyim. All right, so this really reinforces the Josh's point about once you go mitzad hanosein, then the actual tzedakah itself is less important than the fact that you're using some percentage of your money for valuable spiritual things. Now, do you have a comment on that? Why? It's definitely gemilas chasadim in some sense. You got to pay your tolls to go to a wedding. Or you need to take a train or a cab to get to a wedding. That's part of your Maaser money. That's the argument, at least. Right? Josh?
On the other hand, doesn't that not emphasize the other thing? Because the whole point was to cultivate generosity and stuff. And that's not like, you would think that's not really like cultivating generosity. Right?
Well, it's for a dvar mitzvah. You're using it for to godly purposes.
Yeah, but is that really going to, you know, is that really going to impact your spiritual growth as much as help for people?
Maybe. Why not?
Okay.
I would think so. To be a Baal Bris, to be a Sandik.
The efforts I have to go to see if some people are coming. It's a chesed if people put in the effort to like come.
Say it again, Zacharia.
I had to put in quite a lot of effort to find out and cajole some people to come. I'll leave it at that.
Got it.
Exactly.
Kabeiras Hashem me'onecha. You should use some of your money from. It might even be to show symbolically that the money is not yours. Maybe you say to move away even from the Rambam virtue ethics thing, and you could say, "Oh, it's just symbolically to show that your money is not yours." Yeah. I think that's a reasonable point. So what you get here is that even within the Meiser camp, there's a lot of ambiguity as to what Meiser is, right? So I'm going to put here the Rama Shach issue about whether it's Dafka or Staka, which parallels, by the way, the issue in Bava Vasar Daftes about the Machitzis HaShekel source as a recurring theme. Okay? The last point I want to make about the Meiser Shir, and here's a response to Romy, is recall, remember the Bach in Yerideas Shin Lamed Aleph, who was very adamant that this idea of Meiser, Masha Adam Ma'aser, Masha Marviach, Masha Matan Kitsafim, Bishar Revachim, Eino Bechlalze, Shari Eino Chai Balomina Torah Balomi Drabanan. He thought there's no real Doraisa or rabbinic source for this. And the Aruch HaShulchan in Yerideh Reish Mem Tas Aleph runs with that. Hachi Perusha Devem Eshirim Eilu Demayser V'chomesh Einan Minatora V'mijabonon Hudas Mechu Akra. Okay, so even though you have all these sources, yeah, maybe there's a Shir Meiser out there. You have a Tosos making up a Sifrei, and you have a Or Zerua, and you have the Gra explicating the Rambam, right? This is the Aruch HaShulchan that we just read. The point that I was making the other shiurim that I still stand by is that I think it's a major misconception that the shiur of Staka is Meiser. That's a minhag maybe that people adopted as how much Staka they're going to give, but it has very weak anchoring in halacha. That there's a notion that a person is supposed to tithe or give a tenth of their assets and stuck up. It's like one shear that's thrown out there. But if anything, it's very much a bidyeved shear, which we'll reinforce in a moment. We in agreement on that? I'll say more why it's a bidyeved shear in a second. But Ned, do you agree? No, you don't have to agree. Skari has a hand.
Yeah, I might be stealing the next step, but I don't know, to push the polemic further. I mean, it's a problem. You can like say this is reflects an entire, you know, twisted or at least half formed perspective on tzedakah that totally centers around the nosing. I think if you people had the perspective that the chshir is tzorachaniyim, and okay, it happens to be that tzorachaniyim is nearly infinite, so therefore I just have to do a personal evaluation of how much I can give. That might be a much more accurate and total picture.
Agreed. I agree that another way of saying Zakaria's point is that the myth of Meiser is tied into the myth of no rights in Jewish law. Right? That's another way of making your point, because you're saying that the Meiser notion comes from like, oh, I have to give, and what amount do I have to give? Correct?
That's right.
Start with a needs-based assessment of what claims do the Tzarchei Aniyim make against me. Correct? Yeah, I agree with that point. Okay, that's it. That's the second percentage-based shear. Again, I'll just remind you all that the percentage-based analysis emphasizes the Chiyuv HaNosein. What are the last options we have for a percentage-based shear? Josh, you were doing a great job.
In the Yerushalmi, they asked, what was it before? Was it kind of Yusha? And I said it was like 1 to 2% or something like that.
Yeah, Ad Heichan. Right, Rabbi Gamliel ben Iminu and Rav Barkahana say Ad Kedei Truma Uchumas Meiser. Now the question is, what's this year? So we had a bit of back and forth in the last year, so I did some clarifying here. So let me say two things about this. There's actually machlokas and the commentators here on what Ad Heichan means. What we saw the Pnei Moshe says Ad Heichan means Ad Heichan hu achi below atakana. What's the Ikar Adin? Deoraisa obligation, right? So if you take that reading, what percentage do you get? So you one way of reading it is Kidei Truma, which is how much? 2%. That's the Truma Shear. What's the other possibility? Trumas Meiser, which is how much? 1%. Good. Now there's actually a fifth shear out there that was suggested. Who said we should add them together? Yeah, Dan, have you had that suggestion? So that could be, let's see. If you look at the bear on the Yishalmi of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, just passed away, but he has a very interesting parish on the Yishalmi. I don't know if anyone's seen it. I don't know if he wrote it or like students of his wrote it. It says me from his shiurim. So he sometimes has a very novel way of writing Yishalmi. So when the Yishalmi says Ad Heichan, the Yishalmi says Ad Heichan Shiura Lemata, meaning what? Yeah, what's the minimum amount? It's not clear if that's the same as the maker adin chiyuv. Right? I would think they're two separate concepts. Maker adin is how much you obligated to give. The other one is like, what's the bare minimum amount to be yotzei zayin staka? Right? If it's the latter, if it's the, what's the shir lamata, then it might even be inconsistent with the ravasi shir of shlishis ha-shekel. Because that's a fixed amount, and then the Yishalmi is saying, oh no, there's a base bottom shear that's a percentage based. So what's the shear lamata? So he says, ad kidei trumas meiser, ad kidei truma trumas meiser, kishir truma utrumas meiser. So Daniel's machaven to Rav Chaim Kanievsky's reading, meaning what? Truma znotel tre lameya, the trumas meiser aleph lameya, hare gimel lameya. Meaning you add them together. You add the 2% and the 1%, so you get 3% shear. Everybody see that? So you might have a third shear, depending on how you read this Yishalmi.
Okay, so
you have a whole range when it comes to these percentage-based readings. I think that's all pretty straightforward. Everybody good at this? Okay, so if I wake you up and I say, what's the shear of staka, what do you answer?
Yes.
You answer, not my sir. It's not clear. So far, you have all these different shirim. If it's a percentage-based collection, then you have four possibilities.
Let's put the 3% one down here, even though it's out of order.
You have five possibilities. You have 20%, 10%, 2%, 1%, or 3%.
Okay. Josh, you have a hand on this?
I was just saying, I mean, from the Moscana of the Yishalmi, 1% and 2% isn't like a real number because it's kind of out of, like if you read the Yishalmi like that.
Yeah, Maker Adin versus Usha.
Right.
Yeah. But that's just Takana. There are some cases where Takana may not apply. Right? Okay. Great. Now we get into the most important part. And that is to go deeper into our analysis of De Machsoro. But before we get to De Machsoro, I want to round out our survey by recognizing one shear that I left out, yes, in the last year. So what did I leave out? Baba Sadaf Tess, what's it, Romy?
Yeah,
the Aniha Over and Makal Lama. I'm going to erase the percentages, but I'm just going to read. Get my room back. Let's do this. 20%, and then we have also 10%, 3%, 2%, and 1%. Correct? So we have our a third shear that moves away from the percentage base. And it says, it's also above Bas or Davides. In Kochsin, what is it, Romy?
If you go Kochsin, then
yeah, so don't worry about the numbers, but it's Mazon for two sudos, correct? And if he's sleeping over, it's parnasas lina, which is a purio besagia, right, a bed and clothing material. That's all explicit in the Gemara. How would you characterize this shear? What type of shear is this?
It's not a percentage.
It's not a percentage. That's for sure true. Is it fixed from the no sains perspective? Meaning, is it like the mach? Is it like the mach zeshlish tashekel? No. So, what is it, Ariel? Exactly. It's fixed by the needs of the yoni. So, here, it's fixed by the ani's needs, correct? There's a certain fixed amount that's required, two sudas, and maybe fixed food, and a place to sleep and crash for the night, correct? So notice that in this shiur, we moved from the first two shiurim, which are clearly formulated from the perspective of the nosim, to shiurim that are formulated from the perspective of the ani. Right? Fixed amount. What type of needs are these, would you say? The mazon first day sudos and the idea of purio besagia? What? What type of needs are they? Basic. It's good. Basic need, I'll say the most basic, right? The most basic needs are shelter, place to sleep, clothing, and food for 2 days, for two meals, for 1 day, correct? So it's fixed by the needs of Yanni, meeting his most essential, most basic needs. Josh?
Is there a differentiation between this and like half of him?
They're very close. They're very close. Yeah. I don't think there has to be a strong distinction between stuck and achasarachim. You can see even in the Yishami, you know, there's a difference begufo versus the momono. Maybe this is more of a, you know, you're giving the guy cash rather than inviting him into your home. But yeah, I think you know, achasarachim is a form of staka, arguably. Staka makes its way. Pigeon shvuyim, we already saw an example of. Tibet Aveim gets, you know, interlinked with staka. So I think staka creeps into all these related things. Put a hand. Daniel?
I don't know if it's in your at all, but presumably your normal person is very key, like has monetary capabilities, and it's ability to do on its own. So it's probably less so, like, based on the needs of the
Korea. Correct. Like, you want to come to Philly for Shabbos, you know, you can stay at my house.
It's like more on your term.
Correct. It's not a stuck issue. It's not like you're a traveler who is, you know, stuck. Right. So stuck assumes that there are needs. Achanas Zorchim may not assume that there are needs. Just, sure, come stay with me. It'll be fun. Still Achanas Zorchim. Right. That's Daniel's distinction, right? Yeah, that's great. Now, this shear is in tension. I mean, all these shear are in tension with each other, right? Because they're different shear. So you have to have some story to tell about how when these different shear apply. But we have another shear. What's that? De machzoru, suvenis samach zayin. That's Dalit. De machsoro asher yachsavo. What type of shear is that? So also, it's for sure ani. It's perspectivally from the ani's perspective. How do you characterize it, Josh?
More subjective, based on
subjective what though?
Still based on their needs.
Yeah. I think for sure we want to say it still needs. That's the whole point of Yefsalo, that he's chaser. But much, it's not basic needs, right? It's not essential. But so I would say, at least our first crack at it is that it's non-basic needs, correct? And it's also non-fixed. I think. Right? It's not like an objective amount that applies to everybody equally. Puriya Vaisajya Muslim Vaisidas. And it very much changes based off the type of person that he is. Correct? So it's honey-based, it's needs-based, but those are non-basic needs, and it's not fixed. Meaning it's going to vary from person to person in a meaningful way. Matt, do you agree?
Yeah. You see it more than beyond
Yitzi's chuvos with his grandmother and the Lubavitcher. It's great stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, we got time in a second. But before we get to that, how do you guys reconcile De Machsoro here with Aniha Over Makalamakal Betches Puria Besadja? How do you reconcile those two Shirim? Oh. So one way to do it is Makirin versus Ein Makirin. So you have that in the Tosefta already, in Tosefta and Pei Adalid, that this idea of giving the guy just his basic needs, two sudos and a place to crash, that's if Ein Makirin. So yes. Whereas De Machsoro Lichora would be if it's Makirin. So if you recognize him. Now, why do we care if you recognize him or don't recognize him? No. Well, okay, so one argument is that you can only cater to his particular De Machsoro needs if you know what he actually requires, like what he's used to. That's your argument, Ned? Okay, so there is an argument along those lines. Maybe that's what the Rambam's getting at. Rambam in Zion Ches Aman Sanim. Ein posan lani over makom makom the kikar echad etc. Hashem and kitnis matzah lishen alav bechule veim ha'yu makirin also nosan lofichvoda. So your point is that's contingent on you can only be memale chesronosa if you have knowledge of what his chesronos are, correct? So not like Rumi's, not the refugees who drive up in their Bentley. You're saying, because in that case, maybe you know that they're used to something fancier. Bah. Okay, so Ned's distinction is that it's just epistemic. Like, what do you know about their chisronos? Right?
Yeah, but you could also say that the fact that you know this person that creates the first place, meaning that it's your knowledge of what his status should have been or something like that. It makes it
a push
for him to not have that.
Oh, okay, good. So you could say something more. You don't think that makes sense in
context? Let
me say a little more parve than the way you're saying it. I want to say that this is an application of the din of Aniye Ircha Kodman. We know that in Halacha, there's a hierarchy for tzedaka. Your family comes first, your relatives come first, your neighbors come first. The anim of your city come first, correct? So I want to say, by analogy, an ani that you know has a greater claim of tzedakah against you for De Machsoro than an ani that you don't know. So gufa, the question of whether you're obligated to support this ani at the level of De Machsoro or just Puriya Vaisajya and Mazon Shtei Sudos will depend on whether you have some antecedent relationship with it. Thoughts on this distinction? I don't have the same level of responsibility to somebody I know as somebody I don't know. So, Ani is over. Makom, he's passing through town. So I'll give him Muslim Shtei Sudos and a place to crash. Oh, but somebody here becomes poor. That imposes a higher claim, a higher responsibility on me. In virtue of there being some antecedent relationship, that could generate an obligation of De Machsor Asher Yachsel. Let's say Romy, Josh, and then Shmuel.
So first of all, I'm not sure why you have to say that Ani Yerfa Kodman is a function of a greater accountability as opposed to just a way of organizing stuff, meaning it's inefficient for me or won't get the job done if everyone just gives whatever they want, and then we'll have them beforehand and just say, you know, this either concentric circle or you and that.
Right.
I'm not sure that I think that that's true, but I'm just suggesting that maybe.
So you're gonna argue Aniya Yirtha is an efficient, just like a distributional efficiency right. mechanism.
But let's say that's not the case. I'm still not sure why, maybe you can accept that it really does create a greater accountability, right? But why should this be accountability? Meaning, what's the connection between me knowing you and me having to provide this level of stuff for you?
Yeah. Anybody want to answer Romy's question? Let me, Josh, you want to take a stab at it? Let me just push back for a second, which is you have to, if you accept the reading of Aniya Yirtha, that it's a moral, they have a prior moral claim against you, not just your efficiency explanation, then you have to say something along those lines just to explain that din, meaning, you have to say that there's some greater responsibility towards a member of your community than to a member, someone who's not part of your community.
But using the technical point, meaning there's a higher level of obligation and this person has a higher level of obligation, therefore it must be in a higher level of obligation is this year.
Right. Meaning, we'll, when we get to Aniya Yirtha Kolman, we have to figure out,
I guess, yeah.
Why is it on the Yirtha Kolman if you don't go in the efficiency direction? But assuming there's an explanation, I don't think it's counterintuitive, right? There's a notion like members of the same community have mutual responsibilities towards each other, right? In the same way that we think we have responsibilities to Jews over non-Jews,
right? Yeah, right.
The Chayachicha, right? In the same way that you think. Let me say a little more about this in philosophy. It's really a major problem. It's not obvious why you should ever be allowed to prioritize yourself over others. And especially if you're a Kantian and like, but that does not that Selam Elokim reside in you in the same way it resides in me. So why should I have a greater duty to myself than to you? What's the justification for partiality? Even to yourself. It's not obvious that there is a good one. Oftentimes the response, well, but sometimes the response is, no, like, we have greater responsibilities to our friends and our family and the people with whom we work and people that we engage in social cooperation with. So Aniya Yirtha Kolman, like, the bonds of fraternity are stronger between people that were makir and somebody across the globe in Africa that we never met. So you could say that's what's going on in Aniya Yirtha Kolman. And you could say that's what's going on in the distinction between Makir and Oso and in Makir and Oso over here.
Yeah, but you're not, but that doesn't explain why De Machsoro is the shear that I'm not offering to provide you. You know, I'm going to have to care about you more, so
yeah.
That you mean that you come first, not that the give you also our shear. Now, I understand the more technical, right? There's an available shear and higher obligation, so that must be the shear.
Right.
Just,
correct. My point is just that you see two shiurim of tzedakah, de machzoro and Muslim shtei sudos puri besadja. We're given the hint by the Tosefta already that it depends on makir and oso. That's going to determine whether it's de machzoro or this other shiur. Ned wants to go technical and say it's just about whether you know what his needs are. And I'm saying, no, we have a paradigm within tzedakah to think that there's a fundamental distinction, which is that we have a greater halachic moral responsibility to the people that were makir, such that the shear of Game Aksora would apply to them more so than to an honey that's over milk and mako. Yeah, guy is traveling through Philly and his Porsche breaks down. I have absolutely no responsibility to get him a Porsche. That's just not the type of responsibility I have to somebody I don't know. So what I'm doing is I'm totally isolating Suvis Samech Zayin De Machzoro, and saying that's a special type of stuff obligation to people that you are makir.
That's why I explained the way that I explained, which has other problems.
We have to figure out if the Chabad Lifto Lubavitcher guy agrees. Right? I'm guessing Yitzi's grandmother would agree. No.
What? Career and logical mind.
That's right.
That's why I said the reason I said it, which is why can you say that the fact that you know him is what creates the Matsuro, meaning that is, you know what his status was, you know he's not at that, then there's that blue level of Busha or whatever.
Yeah.
And then requires
you. Yeah, so you're making an interesting point. Roby's trying to give his theory, or Roby's saying his theory has greater explanatory power because his theory explains why it's named Mahsor.
Right. The problem with it is that it doesn't make sense at the individual level, meaning if I don't know you and I don't know your status, or if everybody else here does, why is that possible at the individual level and help from the brand?
Right.
I think there's some work to do there.
Yeah. I don't, yours is very sharp. I like your explanation. I just don't know that it works out totally. Because, like, what if, you know, what if he has no busha and things like that? Meaning sometimes someone loses their money, but they don't always have busha.
You have to think about Jamasaro.
Maybe. So let's we'll get to that. Good so far? Everybody at least hear my distinction? Josh, you had a comment?
I was going to say, you guys pointed out that based on your distinction, there is a real difference between the Matsuro and basic needs, where basic needs has a quicker argument.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's a more fundamental shear.
And you would give it to anyone, regardless of your personal level obligation.
Correct. I think you have to say that before open. And I very much endorse that view, that de Matsuro is a specialty shear of Staka, a higher level of Kiyom Staka. It's not the base bedrock obligation. I for sure think that. Okay. Which I think is borne out by the distinction between both Basra tests in Pofsim Be Aniover Makum Makum Puria Be Sadja Muslim Shesudas and Sivis Samasai. Shmuel.
What is the distinction
between
problematic
one
of our understandings of the Ramban you had earlier, where you're supposed to give to onion to the degree that pulls on poverty and then move on to
the Rambam Persian Shnayim.
Because if you're supposed to move on to the next one, once you pull it out of poverty, then we have this distinction here where there are two levels of poverty. For this guy, you're going to pull him out to this level. For this guy, you're going to spur the next guy because you have to give him Deimach Soro.
Yeah. You're asking on the consequentialist reading of the Rambam in Perashat Mishnayos, that we want to get as many people out of their deficits. How do you triage that? How do you maximize?
Well, if you have this distinction, then we're going to say that the person you're close to has a different level of pulling them out of poverty than the guy you don't know, that just objectively seems to not make
sense. Yeah. So you're asking the classic question, which is, no, I don't say this to minimize your question, but you're asking this kind of classic triaging or optimization problem. There's my friend who's in need of Deimach Soro, he needs a car, but then there are people in Africa who are dying of polio still. I could spend $1 to get a vaccine to those polio people, or I could spend $100 to get my friend in an Uber to come to my friend's wedding, whatever. Which of those is a greater kiyum of Deimach Soro? I think it's a version of what you're asking.
Yes.
And I actually don't know the answer, because you would have to weigh the quote unquote Aniye Ircha Kodman principle against the basic needs. Right, ain poksan lani over in makom lamakom from Muslim shtei sudos. I hear an argument that Muslim shtei sudos always has priority over aniye yircha kodman, if that's like a de machsoro type of suslirchov alah, etc. I think I could answer in that way, and that would be totally kosher. But I think one could also say, like, no, there's something special about, and my answer to Romy's question, when you're a code man, there's something about social cooperation and fraternity, the people that you're makir, your family. I know maybe their de machsoro needs trump the en posen needs. When we get to Aniyah of Hakuna, we have to examine how we would weigh the, how we would weigh those against each other. But great question. Everybody with me? Ned, you have a thought or?
It's kind of wild to suggest that we expect horses before starving.
That we should what?
Horses.
You think that's wild?
Also,
why do you think that's wild? What? Life is more important than
horse
to ride on. What's life worth living if you don't have horse to ride on? You're just saying that. Let's say it's you're saying Muslim shtesudos is clearly about life and death. What's your view? You're saying starving, getting rid of starvation stuff is much more basic than. Yeah, as I said, I hear an argument for that. You're saying there's no argument the other way. There's no argument that Aniyah Yerucha Kodman could trump the basic needs of an Aniyim of a different city.
Who says that? Like, where are we saying that?
I'll throw it out as a possibility.
Yeah.
Right. When we look at the Gittin stuff, we could. Are you okay with we said that your duty to give tzedakah to Jews, de'machsoram, is more basic than the tzedakah to non-Jews for their life? Or you plead the fifth on that one. Okay. But we can take up these issues when we get to the Gittin sugya. Ariel?
Isn't there a marker where the Aruch Shulchan doesn't apply like today?
Yeah, like we spoke about in the last year. Yeah, I'll have to say about that in a minute. Yeah, I'm gonna flesh out more aspects of that soon. Okay, so bottom page 52, we have Demach Soro Gemara. Just gonna say a few more things about Demach Soro. So we have explicitly in the Gemara. So I agree with Yitzi's grandmother. They've already read the exchange. It's a great exchange. And what's that? Rafi, do you read it?
That's good.
Yeah. It deserves serious attention. No joke. I mean, the remarkable thing is that she stopped going to the shiurim after she heard that. Isn't that crazy? And people really think that way. It's like you go to a shiur, you have to be careful what you say. Because, you know, you tell people like, oh, no, he stopped us. Like, your friend had a Porsche and then they became poor. You have a thief to buy them a Porsche. You're like, what's this religion that I'm a part of? You have to be careful what you say. I think Yitzi's grandmother is right that that's a repugnant conclusion. Especially if it entails that our chiyuv to give somebody food to survive is the same as our chiyuv to provide a rich person with a Porsche if they became poor. No?
Weren't you just arguing that?
No.
Okay.
I did say things that were very similar to that. What I'm going to say now should clarify what I mean. I said that maybe de machsoro of karov or makir. Right? I said, what do you mean by de machsoro?
Why is that repugnant?
Because it is, Ariel. No. You don't think it's repugnant, Ariel?
If it's to the exclusion of taking care of someone's needs, sure. But I don't see if there's just one general category of making sure everyone's at a level that they're habituated to. I don't see why that's morally problematic.
Well, because one of them is just tickling somebody's luxuries or their fetish for certain pleasures. And the other one is ensuring someone's survival. You're saying those are morally comparable, Ariel?
Well, wouldn't there be an additional legal aspect of ensuring someone's survival just in terms of, let's say, you know, lo tamor adam re'echa or inyanim like that, meaning there's additional moral and ethical imperative to save someone's life, but just in terms of the
non-stucca based.
Right, but the basic law of tzedakah, I don't see why it's absurd just to say it's, you know, ensuring someone doesn't have a fall from grace beyond what they can tolerate.
Ned, you want to respond to that, or? I added a tiny to the source here. Yeah, we'll talk about that. So Ariel's move is to say that in the life-saving case, it's really Losamo and Adamriyafa that's doing the work, right, Ariel?
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm evoking that in a legal sense, or just, you know, there's like a ethical superiority, let's say, but, you know, in terms of just the din of tzedakah, you could say, no, really, tzedakah is just supposed to be, you know, we don't want someone to suffer a fall from grace, whatever their social status.
Right, but I think I would push back and make the same point with a slight variation, which is even if you're just curing hunger, not he's not going to die. The guy's just in distress. He's in pain. You know, he'd have foggy, you know, like on a fast day when you're hungry, like your brain is all foggy. Never happened. No, you're not productive because you're hungry. Yeah. Orwell talks about this down and out in Paris and London. Like the poor person can't be productive because like their mind is just like fried. What you could think about is your next meal. See, I would say even in that case where your life is not on the line, your obligation to cure that guy's poverty is disanalogous to the buying the Porsche. You want to defend that they're the same, Ariel?
No, fair enough. I guess my only remaining squabble would be that, you know, I don't know if that it's necessary that that's reflected in the legal system, or that could just be an illegal value.
What do you mean, not reflected in the legal system?
I mean, it could be legally always says, you know, you have to restore.
It's all one din.
Right, one din. But, you know, outside the law, of course, we can sort of say what is more pressing or what's more, I don't know, valuable.
Ariel, I agree with your move. If it was the case that tzedakah was just presented as de machsoro, and everybody has different de machsoro needs, I think a priori you're making a reasonable claim. I just think it's refuted by the Gemara's presentation. In Babasa Daf Tes, you have a din of Ein Pochsin Ani Me'over Me'makom Me'makom. That's like one basic need of tzedakah. That's catering to someone's basic needs. And then you have a totally separate din of If Makirinosa, then you have De Machsoro. Right? Afilu Sus Lirchavol. Now I understand you could go Ned's way and say that's just a knowledge problem. Do you know what his true needs are? Is that how you would respond, Ariel?
You could. I mean, I'm fine going either way on this one.
Yeah. I don't think Ned's way is a particularly happy way to go.
Yep.
Yeah, good. See, Ned? Your way is not the happy way to go. Who says we have to be happy? Okay. So let me say a little bit. I do think that we have to explain De Machsoro Asher Yachsoro. So the first thing that we could say here is what Yitzi said. Or Yitzi said we said. Which I think we did say. Yeah. Okay. Which is that there's a difference between the Kiyam and the Chiyuv. And then what you really want to emphasize here in the Braisa is De Machsoro Ata Mitzuva Lav Leparnasasa Leparnaso Viata Mitzuva Lav Leosher, right? So you have that fundamental distinction halacha between Parnasa and making rich. Let me just say that some Rishonim really run with that idea. So let me give you an example. We did not discuss this in the previous shiurim, but if you look at the Mahari Korkus in Matnas Aniyim, well, Zion Gimel, Mahari Korkus says, De Machsoro Mitzuva Ata Lefarnasa Ve'en Ata Mitzuva La'oshro, is on page 54. Perish, Dilo Seima Kivan Shezeh Haya Ashir V'Rogil Ba'osher Harehu Ke'ebed V'sus V'De Machsoro Karinamai Kamash Malan Dilo The Ein Zen Nikra Machsoro. How does the Mahari Korkus understand this Zersakasav of Ein Ata Mitzuva La'oshro?
That the Machsoro has an upper cap. You're never going to have to.
Exactly. There's a cap, an upper limit to De Machsoro Asher Yachsoro. It will never include making the guy rich. Now, I want to say that this is, like Meiser, de machzoro is a very much abused principle. It is often presented as, yeah, if this guy was a billionaire, then de machzoro is that you have a duty to make him a billionaire again. Right? Get him back to where he was. If the guy had a Porsche, you got to get him a Porsche. Yes or no? You ever hear that? Marty Korka says that's totally false. The whole point of the Gzeres HaKasa about the mitzvah lefarnaso, v'yata mitzvah lehashiro, lehashiro, is that there's never an obligation to make the guy rich again. Everybody see that?
Romy, what does that mean?
Oh, what does it mean? That's the next question.
Yeah. I don't know if this is Frey is next.
What?
It's Frey and the, oh, I see, yeah, and the Midrash are a little clearer what the purpose of, I thought the Gemara is totally all kavod, but I think.
You found the Gemara's what?
I thought the Gemara's presentation was much more not obvious that it was practical. I thought it was maybe exactly. More of a kavod, wealth status thing, which would fit with the kind of the common
exactly.
myth, but we'll see differently.
Exactly. So I think what you see implicitly in the Maori Corcus over here is that Eved Visus are clearly playing some sort of Parnasa role. As in, they're supplying someone's necessities. They're not just tickling someone's fetish for a luxury. How do I... Ned, why are you looking at that from outer space? In what world is an Eved Visus? Yeah, it's a means of transportation. That's all it is. You can look at the Medrash over here, the Medrash Agada, Dvarim Parshrei, De Machzor Asher Yafzalo, blah, blah, blah. Tzarech Lahachi Lani, Lahashkoso, Vishay Yelen Oso Bebeso, Lalavo Soso. Vim Eno Yachol Lalachez Beraglo, Tzarech Litim Lo Behem Alircho Velao. What? How many animals know how to go on their own? Well, it's saying, I think one way of reading the Veved Larot Lefana is what? You have an ani. Someone comes to your house. They need to get somewhere. Why do you throw in a limo? Yeah, the person doesn't have a driver's license. So you have a duty not just to let them use your car. Your car is not helpful to them. But you have a duty to get them an Uber driver who will get them to their destination. Why is that crazy? The horse knows how to travel on its own. If you have a self-driving car in a Konami. What? You have a sense that it's covered? Where do you get that from? In the Gemara? Just if you had the Gemara itself.
Yeah. You can look at the
total story, not the closing. Amru Allah Valhilla Zakin. Shalokah Lani Bentovim. Echad. I guess because Ani Bentovim, maybe. Sus Lirchovala, Eved Larut Lefana. So to guide the horse. How else is the horse supposed to know where to go?
I think like I'm going to run like an Achav and chariot as an honor.
You read that into the Gemara. In Echanami, you could read the... There's a way to read the Gemara that way. I'm just saying that there's also a way to read the Gemara not that way. Mari Korkis says, it's not lahashiro. You have no duty to make the guy wealthy. Right? And look here at the Meiri's reading, by the way, just so you don't think it's just obscure Midrashim and the Mari Korkis. The Meiri here says... Where did my Meiri disappear to? Here. I delete my Meiri, I hope not.
Was it the Tzimtzum Gadol one?
Yeah, where is that?
I think that's on the Yosom Balisa Ksuvas Samech Zion nowadays, I think.
Here's one. Here it is.
Yeah, that one.
Page 57, guys. On page 57, we have an Iri who says, Yasam Shabbal Lisa, also no cult Sarcham and Atstaka bin Simtsum. So you take care of all their basic needs in a compressed way, right? Without overspending on luxurious things. The chulam bitzimtzum gadol uchaseder shenemar de mafsoro lefarnaso atam etzuve velola osro. When you buy the guy a house, when you buy a bed, a clay tashmish, you don't buy him fancy silverware. You don't buy him a fancy mattress. You do it all bitzimtzum to satisfy the person's basic needs. Okay. Wait. Ned, ye of little faith, I want you to read them here over here. Hayatzarech latzeis l'derech. Okay, so you're saying if a guy has to travel somewhere, let's take that first clause. Hayat sarich latseis laderech. If he has to travel, then you should provide him with a means of transportation that's befitting. What does that mean? I'll tell you what that means. You have an ani. They'll never take the subway. You have an old woman. She'll never take the subway by herself. It's very hard for her to get around. Can she? Yeah, she can walk with her cane and, you know, get up the subway flights. But normally she would go around by a car. She's not used to the subway system. So de machsura is to drive her around, get her an Uber. Madrichen osa ala derech shehu ragil. Ein madrichen osa ala derech shehu ragil. Meaning you're not going to make somebody go in like a very unusual way. It's a very far cry to my mind from saying you have to buy the Porsche. The person has to go on some trip, so you send them in a mechubadik way, or in a reasonable way. No? Daniel, do you agree?
No. Yeah. Josh? I just want to clarify that we're defining dematsuro the opposite way that we saw other people. Like other people seem to say that dematsuro is solely about how other people are going to perceive the guy and his companies. It's not even the exact opposite way.
So I'll get to that in a second. I'll get to that. But I think the first approach that you could take to De Machsoro is that exactly this. De Machsoro doesn't mean De Machsoro should never be confused with Laha Ashiro. Never, even if the person once was an Ashir. What it means in this case is to satisfy the normal needs that somebody has, even if those normal needs are somewhat expensive, like putting them in an Uber to get to the destination that they require. Wasn't that?
The categories are a little subjective. Why are certain things considered ashiro and not other things? So if I give him a bike, then that's with an Uber. Who's going to bike? You know what I mean?
Right. So for some people, a bike is totally fine. Correct? But if somebody's not accustomed to getting around by bike, then a car is a means of transportation.
Well, so that's what I'm saying. That's another Philip. So I originally had time with the Philip was I'm accustomed to having method of transportation, so I have to walk all the way to work. I could, have the coffee. So I gave you that method of transportation. I know you want the time and condition that you're accustomed to. So then it very quickly becomes if you're not sure, then it is not sure. Or
except that. What? No, I don't want to say that it's not last year. Let me say this. Let me put it this way. I think on this reading, it's obvious that you never, ever, ever have an obligation to support somebody with a luxury. That's the axiom of L'parnasa v'lo l'hashiv. Correct? Now, Romy, you're asking, how do you differentiate what's considered a luxury from a basic need, given that somebody is now used to a higher level of living? Correct?
Yeah.
So I agree that there you're going to have some interesting cases on the margin. For somebody who never, let's say, growing up in Queens, I never took a car service, right? I took a subway wherever I had to go. So my day machzoro would be a metro card, access to the subway system. But if you have somebody who, like, the way they got to work is by driving or taking a cab, arguably their day machzoro is just their normal routine is to go by a car. Given that that's normal in society, it's a totally normal claim to say that your own car is a normal means of transportation.
What happened to the driver?
I would say, given our society, that's definitely a luxury. There's a good case that it's a luxury.
What?
So you have to normalize it. You have to look at the society. That's what you get from Day Machzor. Does tell you, look to society for what's considered parnasa, what's normal.
But it's normal for a CEO of business to have a driver. So if you're a CEO of business, then it's normal to be a driver. Or a different way.
I think we could agree that that's La Ashira. Meaning, every halacha. Correct. Every halacha needs to be implemented and enforced by someone. So you need a bezdin, right? We saw that tzedakah is like dinei mamonos, because you need people to determine what's right. So obviously there'll be some subjective evaluation, right, Romy?
Yeah.
But we agree that there's a difference between Laha Shiro. I think it's indefensible to say that this guy gets a Porsche under Asher Yafsarlo. Even if he's a Gvir, and his friends used to say, wow, on this theory of Asher Yafsarlo.
Can I ask one follow-up question? Do you think that does a person need to be an Ani to trigger Asher Yafsarlo? Meaning, what if I'm used to having some good chance to drive me around, and now I don't have a car? So I didn't lose all my money, I have a lot of stuff, but I don't have a car.
I don't think you have to be an Ani to trigger Asher Yafsarlo. But it has to be. It has to be.
Stuff that is not even to an Ani.
Right. We know that, though.
Yeah.
Like Chaser Isha also Zachit Staka to get them married, right?
So, right. We consider
Ani from. You can say that here also. You're not any relative to. But does everybody see my main point based on this Mari Korkis? What the Mari Korkis adds, and what these other Rishonim run with, is that there's a hard line, a red line to be drawn at Kedei Parnasaso versus Laha Ashiro. The chiddush is that Kedei Parnasaso is defined by Asher Yafsarlo. Correct? But that excludes things that are obviously luxury things. So a fancy car, that's clearly Laha Ashiro. Can we agreement on that? Ariel?
I guess private school tuition,
So again, so you could say you have to normalize it relative to like what's everybody in the community doing.
So you could say also the whole idea of like sort of the busha, everybody else is driving the car to the center and then driving the car.
So I ain't saying anything about busha yet. I'm so far just going with a non-busha considerations.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just I'm working within the distinction of Laha Ashiro versus Parnasaso. Let me add a little more to this. We'll stop in 1 second. Because I promise on Sunday I won't always go over. So the Meiri here on Samach Zayin, and you get this in other Achronim also, when they talk about the second case in the Gemara of this, about the guy who wanted Yayin Yashan and Basar Shamein, like the very fancy meat, right? So the Meiri interprets that as a chola, someone who's sick, and the only way to heal him is through getting him You don't like that?
That's a huge
akimta. It's a huge akimta. But that just shows you how committed he is l'shitaso, because the Miri is the one who says the sus lefanav is just if he has to get somewhere, right? It's not a kavod thing. Am I a chole or chalosh? Ma'adifin lo ad sheyavri v'yishazeh. V'afilu haya kfar katan. And why? She'ein lecha geder oseder b'hotza b'fnei pikuach nefesh. And he cites that story in the Gemara where they bought this guy really fancy meat. But it was because he needed it to become... to be healed.
So that has nothing to do with being bent over. That's not even Baymax or that's just normal. That's just what he needs.
That's it could be that's what he needed to recover because of his upbringing.
Oh.
What?
Okay.
Like, if you need to recover, you got to eat up to strengthen yourself. Maybe psychologically, if your body is used to a certain type of nourishment, then it can't. Right, it can't satisfy itself with a different type. Everybody see that? So the Miri works very hard here to make sure that it's really not lahash here in these cases. We're talking about basic necessity, just those basic necessities now are more expensive ones. And then just the last thing you should see, and we'll pick up next year, is that Maharash Dam, that's the Chuvos of Shmuel by Moshe de Medina, we saw that he was a Rav in Saloniki in the 16th century. He says, in all these cases, like the Meiri, Ilu hayu chaserim hayu efshar hayu mistaknin. He seems to think that a lot of these cases, had somebody not been given these things, they would have been in sakana. He says this again more forcefully a little later on, right here. He says like this: Hakol lefi mashehu, kol achad lefi limudo. Harivada idlamari ela b'misha hurgol ve'ein lo yicholas ate b'shum tzad limso hergelo b'limudo ve'efshar yistakin alze amra Torah asher yachzar lo. He says this idea really only applies to somebody who would be in harm's way if they weren't given what they need, right? But it's there's no mitzvah just to provide it out of kavod or out of respect. So there certainly is a camp out there that limits Asher Yachzalo in this strong way. Anybody see that? Maybe coming around to it? Now, I do think, which we'll talk about next year a little more, that the psychological reading of Asher Yachzar to avoid busha for self-respect, that's a different way of explaining Asher Yachzalo in a way that makes it palatable, even if you're giving somebody a bit of a luxury. Okay, but these Rishonim are reining it in to saying that it's really a type of basic necessity given someone's background, but for sure not lahashir. Okay, let's stop here. I'll say a little bit more about Asher Yachzalo and the psychological and self-respect theme. Then we'll wrap up the Sheer Tzedakah issue and we'll move on next year to the method of giving Tzedakah. The different milos of how to give tzedakah. Are you guys familiar with this? So you're not embarrassing the ani, and that's going to tie into a larger theme of the dignity of the ani, and not just in ensuring his dignity by providing for him, but in the way that you provide for him. All right, shkanach, guys. Take care, everybody on the Zoom. Schar, I'll see you tomorrow. Big day.
Yeah. What's that?
Great. Very excited.